Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Thursday, 9th of December 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the island and background to that news. We've got sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, another 113 cases. That's 936 active cases on the island, 9 in Nobles, nobody in ICU. Day 2 of the trial of Joseph Marshall. Manx Cares PCR tests are rarely wrong. UK expats could be voting in UK elections. No 20-mile-per-hour speed limit on South Gear. The Matrix signs are showing fog on the mountain road.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, the update news headlines. Faster Mai, William King.
Faster Mai, an outbreak of COVID-19 has been confirmed at the Isle of Man prison. Inmates in the A and B wings are spending reduced time out of their cells and visiting has been suspended. Meanwhile, 113 new cases of COVID-19 have been recorded on the island in the last 24 hours. The total number of active cases now stands at 936, a fall of 3 from yesterday. And in the south, King William's College have been defeated on home turf by Castle Rushen High School in the Big One. The rugby fixture finished CRHS 17, KWC 15. In international news, Boris Johnson's difficult week continues tonight as Labour calls for a new investigation into the refurbishment of his Downing Street flat. It follows an investigation by the Electoral Commission, which has rejected the PM's claim that he didn't know who was funding the decorating. On a lighter note, his wife Carrie has given birth to their second child. The number of people waiting for more than 12 hours in A&E departments in England has reached a record high. In November, more than 10,000 had to wait that long before being admitted to a ward, partly because of COVID pressures. And Alec Baldwin and the cast and crew of Rust have rejected any idea that the movie set was a chaotic, dangerous and exploitative workplace. They say such depictions are false, despite the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham. Contact with us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you, William. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, still that strong wind warning for the North Irish Sea. The rain should ease away tonight by midnight on the island. Then it'll be dry and clear and still through the night, down to 5 degrees. Friday will dawn sunny intervals with a fresh to strong west-northwest wind, bringing isolated showers. Some of them may be wintry on the hills. Up to 10 Celsius tomorrow, the overnight minimum 5. Into Saturday, Jasan, mostly dry with intermittent rain. Top temperature 9 Celsius. Tides on the way out. Low water is at 16 minutes to 10. High tide, 21 minutes to 4 a.m. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 26 minutes past 8. And low water at a minute to 10.
If you're looking for supply-only windows and doors, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate or call 674-573.
113 new cases of COVID-19 have been recorded in the last 24 hours on the Isle of Man. William, back with some more detail.
The total number of active cases on the island now stands at 936, a fall of 3 from yesterday. 9 people are in hospital with the virus, none are in intensive care. 29 of the newly recorded cases are pending investigation. Public Health's latest surveillance report shows no COVID-19 related deaths have been recorded in the last 7 days. Meanwhile, an outbreak of COVID-19 has been confirmed at the Isle of Man prison. Officials say cases have been identified in the A and B wings. Both are now operating under a black regime, which means inmates in those sections are limited in the amount of time they can spend out of their cells. Visits to the Jerby facility have been suspended until further notice. Access to legal services is being maintained through closed visits or video links. In a statement, government says the prison is working with infection prevention and control to manage the situation.
The trial of an 85-year-old man who's accused of indecently assaulting boys at a children's home on the Isle of Man has concluded from its second day. Tessa Hawley with this report.
Joseph Henry Marshall appeared in the dock at Douglas Courthouse again today. He's charged with 9 offences. They are 6 counts of indecent assault, 2 of gross indecency and 1 of buggery. Yesterday, a 7-strong jury made up of 3 women and 4 men was selected, and the prosecution, led by QC and White, opened the trial against him. The charges he faces relate to 3 boys under the age of 16 and are alleged to have taken place at the former Knotfield home on Woodburn Road in Douglas between 1974 and 1982. Mr. Marshall, the prosecution say, was the senior house parent at the home at the time. Today in court, the jury heard from 2 witnesses who alleged that Mr. Marshall sexually abused them whilst they were at the home. Both cannot be named for legal reasons. The first told the court he was around 12 when Mr. Marshall took over. Asked by the prosecutor to describe the atmosphere at Knotfield, the witness said it was like a regime, it wasn't nice. Asked by the prosecutor to describe how he remembered Mr. Marshall, the witness used just one word: horrible. A second person who claims he was abused as a child when he was a visitor to the home told the court it was hard to say how many times he'd been abused, but said between 5 and 10. Describing the abuse, he said, "I understood a line had been crossed. I remember being terrified and frozen." Mr. Marshall denies all of the charges against him. The trial is set to continue tomorrow. You can hear more on this story in Breakfast with Ben and Sean from 7:30 on Manx Radio.
Manx Care says its PCR COVID testing process is of the highest clinical standard despite rare occasions when false results are returned. Rob Pritchard.
It follows reports of some people testing negative for the virus at the grandstand despite proving positive with lateral flow devices and PCRs taken at private labs. The health body says the rest of the time PCR tests are close to 100% accurate, though admits they aren't 100% sensitive. On the island, it's said 90% of people who do test positive on an LFD also return a positive PCR. In terms of instances where private labs return different results to those of Noble's pathology lab, the health body says it isn't in a position to comment, as it's not aware of the controls or techniques in place there. It assures the Noble's lab follows the UK government health security agency's recommended method. In addition, all tests are verified using internal and external quality controls from the National External Quality Assurance Scheme and the LGC and show 100% concordance with control samples. In the instance of a confirmatory PCR returning negative, people are exempt from isolation. Manx Care, however, is reminding anyone who displays symptoms of COVID-19 or any respiratory illness should stay at home and keep away from other people until they no longer have any symptoms.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom@manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
People living in the Isle of Man who moved from the UK more than 15 years ago could be able to vote in future UK elections. A proposal is part of the Elections Bill, which is about to have its third reading in the UK House of Commons. If successful, it goes through to the House of Lords as well. We could see a similar thing happen with Manx expats perhaps voting in future Isle of Man elections, says Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas.
Well, I guess there are people on the island who might take up their opportunity to vote across. For instance, I do remember that when we had the Brexit referendum, there were Manx people who took up the opportunity to vote in that. It's for the UK to make up their minds who votes in their national elections, in their local elections and so on. I guess it's even more interesting, though, to think about what it might mean for the future of voting in Isle of Man general elections, because, you know, like Ireland the other way, there is a massive Manx diaspora. I never heard it called that before, but there are lots of Manx people living in Australia, living in the United States, living all over the place. Would we want those people voting in the Isle of Man?
How does it work at the moment? If people, when they leave the Isle of Man, do they immediately lose their right to vote?
In 2021, we made a start by giving people who had long-term connections to the island but were working somewhere else for a period or in the services, we gave them the opportunities to vote in the 2021 general election here, but not many of them took up the opportunity, presumably because they didn't know about it. So I do think it's something that's on the table. You know, we've got to think to ourselves, would we at some point in the future want to extend that opportunity to more people with an association with the Isle of Man, firstly, and secondly, would we want to more people who are who are actually outside for casting votes in general elections, even under the existing legislation.
But I understand, though, I think there's a period of 15 years for the other way round, though. So people that have moved here from England can still vote in UK general elections.
That's what I mean. It's very different between voting in Isle of Man elections compared to the opportunity for some people here on the island to vote into UK elections. And that's what could be on the table. If people are interested in having having Manx people who left the island more than just for a short time to do service in the armed forces or to go to university or to be temporarily posted outside, we could extend the Isle of Man thing, but that would take a change in the legislation.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Ben McCree left Heysham at 26 minutes past two. She's due into Douglas at about 6 o'clock. Not here yet. Leaving this evening at 7:45, arriving in Heysham at 11:30. The overnight departure 2:15, back to Douglas tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A watchdog says whilst COVID uncertainty around international travel is a concern, people must accept testing rules around the world at this time. Mike Bathgate is a director of Travel Watch, and he says the complexities around testing in different nations is something he's had to consider himself.
I'm in the middle of this because we are very keen to get down to New Zealand to visit our family. And New Zealand has actually opened up the ability to get in there from next May. So that's a relief because they've been basically very, very tight on all of their systems for the last 2 years. So they're now opening up from May. But the problem is anything likely to change between now and then? So I came back to this uncertainty, what is likely to happen, because there could be changes in rules in the country you're visiting, changes in rules coming back to the UK, and then changing in rules here. It is a worry, and I can have every sympathy for the travel industry.
In terms of testing, each nation has their own individual requirements, as it were. But what kind of uncertainty does it put around testing, for example, do you think, for people who are considering travelling?
I think we just have to accept what the testing procedure is. I don't think there's any point in complaining or challenging the testing procedure. None of us are experts. We have to rely on the medical and clinical expertise. So we just have to accept it. I believe there is no point in complaining or raising any points about what the various regulations are. That's it. These are the experts. None of us are experts. So we just have to accept it. At the end of the day, travellers have to follow those requirements in whatever country they're visiting. So there's very little we can do about it. It's just a matter of making sure you know what the requirements are.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
Good evening, 17 minutes before 6. PwC's created a new strategy that could see more jobs created in the Isle of Man. The new equation focuses on the company's commitments to the Isle of Man, building trust with clients, investing in helping clients and their employees adapt to technological advances in the industry, empowering PwC employees, advancing inclusion and diversity within the PwC workforce, and achieving net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. Lego's announced plans to build a new factory in Vietnam to keep up with growing demand for its products in Asia. Lego will invest over £760 million in the project near Ho Chi Minh City. It'll be the Danish company's second factory in Asia after it opened a plant in China 5 years ago. Lego's seen double-digit growth in the region since 2019. Construction on the site will begin next year, with plans to match its energy consumption with solar panels on the roof and on a nearby farm. Production at the Lego facility in Vietnam will start in 2024 and will create up to 4,000 jobs over the next 15 years.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed lower as investors continued to monitor developments around the Omicron variant. US stock markets retreated from a rally that spanned three trading sessions, despite fresh data from the US Labour Department showing the number of Americans filing initial jobless claims fell to the lowest level in 5 decades. Oil extended gains. Gold slipped as data showed a big drop in the US jobless claims in the run-up to an inflation report. In corporate news, engine maker Rolls-Royce was on the back foot after it said annual free cash flow will be better than expected after trading improved, but sales at its civil aerospace were lower than forecast. The numbers now, Ramsey Crookall reporting the FTSE 100 closed down 0.2%, 7,321. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.3% at the close at 15,639. Currently, New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial down 0.1% at 35,722. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 0.75% at the moment at 15,669. And the S&P 500 down almost 0.4% at 4,684. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling currently worth $1, 31.9 cents, and €1, 16.9 cents. And in commodities, gold is down 0.33% at $1,777 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil down almost 1.75% at $74.66.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Krikor, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseykrikor.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source. And Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
There are no plans to introduce a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit along South Quay in Douglas, according to the Infrastructure Minister. Tim Krukel, MHK, was responding to a question on the matter from Douglas Central MHK and Corlett, who claimed there had been many complaints about the speed of vehicles on the route.
Though a small number of resident properties front onto South Quay, the road cannot be classified as residential in character. Fronted as it is by retail units, car parks, light industrial units and a commercial harbour side, South Quay's primary role is to link Douglas Harbour to the wider highway network, and as such is one of the few roads on the island identified as being suitable for articulated vehicles weighing up to 44 tonnes or exceeding 14 metres. The implementation of any traffic calming measures would have a detrimental effect on some of the heavy goods vehicles up and down there, so we would have to be very careful at what we looked at doing. If we brought the speed limits down there at the moment, the testing that we've done, don't show that it's excessive speeds down there. Yes, of course, but I absolutely accept there will be one or two cars that go fast. They do on lots of roads. I could name probably a dozen straight away where that happens. We haven't had lots of complaints. We have had the odd complaints, but we have had, you know, we haven't had that many as a member makes. More than happy to discuss this with the local members involved in the area and follow up on any ideas. But as a rule, it is an industrial area, which heavily used by walkers and people going down. I take that on board. But we don't have an issue, as far as we're aware, with vehicles speeding down there regularly.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. FC Isle of Man have found out who they'll be taking on in two cup competitions early next year. The Ravens were in the draw for the First Division Challenge Cup, also known as the Edward Chase Cup, as well as the regionalised group-structured Macron Cup. After getting a first-round bye, the Ireland team will face league rivals Cheadle Town away from home in the second stage of the First Division Challenge Cup on the week commencing the 7th of March 2022. Meanwhile, the Manx side will also be on the road in the first round of the Macron Cup. They'll take on AFC Liverpool, who currently sit in the league above the Ravens in the NWCFL Premier Division. That'll be played on the week of the 14th of March. The winner of that tie faced the prospect of taking on Runcorn Town later that month. The last cup clash FC Isle of Man took part in was back on the 23rd of October. It ended in a 4-2 defeat away at Billingham Synthonia on Teesside. Staying with football, the highly anticipated Descartes Railway Cup semi-final between Ayr and Rushen is now scheduled to take place this weekend. The two men's Premier League title rivals were due to lock horns last weekend. However, the clash was one of many local fixtures last Saturday which were called off due to poor weather. Fixtures are penned in across the men's leagues on Saturday, followed by two ties in the Women's Floodlit Cup on Sunday. And finally, Castle Rushen have made it back-to-back victories over King William's College in the senior team rugby showdown in the South this afternoon. The annual derby, also known as the Big One, returned for 2021 after a year away earlier today. The last time the two sides met saw Castle Rushen beat KWC for the first time in their 70-year history.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
10 to 6 on Manx Radio. The inbound Loganair from Manchester, the 25 to 6, came in on time. Next arrival is the 10 past 8 Loganair from Liverpool. Has to be the returning patient transfer plane, but it hasn't gone yet. Like the next departure is that Loganair, 10 past 6 to Liverpool, coming back at 10 past 8 tonight. There was an earlier departure to Liverpool. The EasyJet, 25 past 5, went 20 minutes early. On the roads in Greba, still those temporary lights 24 hours a day near the Highlander and St Trinians for work on the surface water drainage system. In Colby, temporary lights on Station Road for resurfacing. Port Erin's got the temporary lights on Upper Prom for drainage installation. Paul Rose Bridge is closed until, it will open for TT next year, they say. In Sulby, temporary lights on the main road, the A3 at Sulby Bridge for wall repairs. They're on 24 hours a day. Minorca Hill is closed at the bottom end for drainage work in Laxey, diversions via Glen Road. And temporary lights on the main road in Laxey between the Queens and the bridge, 24 hours a day. They're repairing a sewer there. And Queen Street and a short stretch of North Quay and Douglas closed for the demolition of the former nuisance building, which has become unsafe. And in Douglas, still those temporary lights at the junction of South Quay and the old Castletown Road, 24 hours a day for repairs to a damaged wall, and also will affect traffic coming over the bridge from the railway station.
Massimo Tyres, budget tyres priced to keep your vehicle safe and legal. Only available at Quayside.
A man from East Sussex has completed his charity fundraising journey from John O'Groats to Land's End. You say, what's the Manx connection? In a Peel P50, Alex Orchin drove almost 1,500 miles in less than 3 weeks in the three-wheeled vehicle. It wasn't all plain sailing.
The door kept falling off. So one of the bottom hinges got damaged when the door blew open because it wasn't latched properly, and it hit the curb and it smashed the hinge.
Ooh.
And it must have weakened the top hinge, because they sent me a replacement bottom one, and that broke. And then the top one, the stud kept falling out. So the door actually fell off. So when I did the last drive it's about 50 miles in Cornwall.
Don't tell me you were holding the door.
No, not quite. But I had cable tied it and used a ratchet strap to keep it all on. So I couldn't get out the car, so I had to get to the end.
This isn't an original Peel P50, is it? Because they cost a fortune.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reproduction one. The original ones are worth over $100,000. But my one is basically identical. It's just got a different engine.
So it's sat on your own in a Peel P50. Does it have a radio, a CD player?
It doesn't even have a heater.
So how did you keep yourself entertained? I mean, top speed was about 23, 4 miles an hour, isn't it?
Yeah, it depended on the road. So what I learnt on the way was, a lot of the roads I was doing about 23 because the road surfaces were so rough. But on one of the roads, I actually got to 50 miles an hour, which was terrifying.
That must be a world record for a P50.
It might well
be. Call Guinness.
I don't know. But to answer your question about entertainment, I had ear defenders because it's so noisy in there. But the ear defenders have speakers, so I can actually play an MP3.
Ah, right, okay.
So I was able to listen to some music, at least, just to alleviate some of the time, because there was a lot of time just sitting in there.
You're doing this to raise money for charity. Have you reached your target?
Exceeded it greatly. So I set a target of £2,000, and it's still open now, but it's gone over £10,000.
Wow, and where's that money going to go?
Children in need.
The Manx government says there are no plans to update recently imposed rules which can see travellers taking multiple PCR COVID tests within days. Despite calls for a review, now the current rules mean that if you enter from outside the common travel area, UK, Ireland, Jersey and Guernsey, you need to pay £30 for a test. But on Tuesday, the UK introduced mandatory pre-flight tests for any overseas visitors. Manx resident Rondi Ann Lunder-Quine plans to visit family in Norway this Christmas, but will now need to pay for multiple tests.
The UK has reintroduced mandatory testing before you get on the plane. And this test will have to be paid for potentially up to £250 per person for us if we have to test at the airport in Oslo. This has to be negative, otherwise we won't be getting on that plane. So when we get to the UK, we got proof that we've been tested, we're negative. But when we get back to the Isle of Man, because we've been outside of the common travel area, we have to pay £30 each for a PCR test and isolate until we get the results. While those people vaccinated and unvaccinated who come from the UK only can take a lateral flow test.
Just to be clear, that PCR test that you have to take when you get back to the Isle of Man would be your second PCR test in how long?
48 to 72 hours. And bearing in mind that we will have lateral flow tests in our baggage and we can test any time on the journey, I just have to ask the question if this is logical, fair and necessary at the moment, because you can't get into the UK without testing negative. We will only be going to the airport, going to the hotel, getting on the plane the next day and then coming back to the Isle of Man. Now, I'm perfectly willing to test. I think it's necessary that we're all safe when we travel, wear our masks, we're vaccinated, but I think a lateral flow test should be sufficient.
That's it for Update Tonight from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader William King, producer Dave Moore tonight. And thank you for tuning into this update as a podcast. We really appreciate you making this number one for news from the Isle of Man in terms of podcasts. If you have a comment on the news agenda, by the way, got a story you think we should be covering, remember, the email address is update@manxradio.com. And remember to like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. Just a quick word to remember, the winter solstice is a week next Tuesday. After then, the days get longer. W-I-L-M.